seat of the two of you that are standing. The Book of Psalms is basically the Hebrew or the Jewish hymnal. They would sing these songs during times of worship. Sometimes they would sing them as they went about their day. The priests would sing them in the temple while they were doing their duties. They had certain psalms that they would sing at certain times of the year, during certain feasts or sacrifices or dedications or whatever the case was. And there are psalms of worship, there are psalms of lament, there are psalms of anger, there are psalms of singing about trusting God, all kinds of different things and emotions that we go through. The Book of Psalms basically covers just about everything. And, you know, things we feel now. And there's a psalm for whatever you are dealing with or facing. You feel like reading through all 150 of them, you'll find something that will speak to you. It's a pretty remarkable book. But there was a time in Israel's history where they were in captivity and they refused to sing the psalms anymore. The Bible says that they hang their harps on the willow trees and they put away their instruments and they stop singing and praising and worshiping God because of the situation they found themselves in. They just couldn't even anymore. On a scale from one to even, they just couldn't. It was a mess, and they were so overcome and so overwhelmed with what was happening in their world and in their lives that they just stopped singing and they stopped praising. They paused their praise and they wrapped up their worship. And I don't ever want to fall into that same place. I don't want us to end up there. And there have been times where we might have come close. I know I have come close. But I pray that we don't ever get to that place where we hang up our harps and we stop praising and we stop worshiping and we stop singing to God. There are times and days where it's easy for us to fall into that trap of frustration, despair, and being overwhelmed. So we have to keep our focus on the right things and on God and run to Him when we feel these emotions and things start to overcome us. In Numbers chapter 16, there was a man named Korah who, along with 250 or so others, rebelled against the man of God named Moses, and they didn't like the way that he was doing things, and so they decided they were going to do it on their own, and they were going to offer their own incense to God. And Korah decided that he was going to worship God how he wanted to, and God wasn't too happy about that. In fact, Korah and all his cronies died by the wrath of God, and God even sent a plague to Israel because of Korah's actions and the support he had among the people. It was a mess. Not the kind of story you would like in your family. But for some reason, God spares the sons of Korah and they survive. Numbers 26, it says, "And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah. When that company died, what time the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a sign." And it says in verse 11, "Notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not." For whatever reason, God spares the children of Korah. And what does this have to do with the Book of Psalms? Well, this guy, Korah, he rebelled and God destroyed him and all of his people supporting him, but his kids lived to see another day. And that seems unrelated to the intro, but before we get to our actual text, there's a little side lesson here that your parents' sins don't define you. Their mistakes, their hang-ups, their shortcomings, their rebellion doesn't need to follow you, and that can stop today. How do I know that? Because the psalm we're going to look at this morning is Psalm 46, and if you had your physical Bible with you, you could take a peek at the heading of Psalm 46, and it may say something like this: "To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth," or "To the chief or the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song." Psalm 46 was written by the sons of a man named Korah. The family of this man who rebelled, who was made an example of in front of everyone. His sons, they grew up and they did the exact opposite of their father. Their father wanted to worship in his own way and wanted to do his own thing and live for God the way that he wanted to and offer incense the way he wanted to. But these boys, his sons, his grandsons, his great grandsons, his lineage, whoever these guys were that wrote this, they decided that they were going to live for God the right way. And they decided they were going to live for God correctly and worship him correctly. And they were going to love God and follow him the way that God wanted them to. In fact, not only did they write Psalm 46, they also wrote Psalm 42, 44, 45, 47, 48, 49, 84, 85, 87, and 88. And some 11 psalms in total were credited to the sons of Korah. Around 7% of the book of Psalms, if you are interested in percentages. In fact, a very well-known character in the Old Testament can also trace his lineage back to Korah, to this failure of a man, a little boy who became a wise judge and a prophet named Samuel. All came from this man who failed. And they did not let their father's failure define them. They did not let the failure of their family hold them back from living for God. And that's pretty awesome. We're going to get to Psalm 46 now. It's one of the most famous psalms, not as famous as 23 maybe, but it was made quite popular by a man named Martin Luther, who took it and paraphrased it into a hymn. I was going to try it in German, but I'm not. He translates to "A mighty fortress is our God." Psalm 46 is what they call a Zion song. It's a song written about Jerusalem, and it may seem strange for us to talk about a song like that today, but to the people it was written for, who sang this on a regular basis, Jerusalem was the city of God, and it was a place of stability. And that was because the presence of God was there. And that's why when you read the book of Nehemiah, he was so upset and distraught when he found out that Jerusalem was in such a bad place, because Jerusalem was supposed to be stable and consistent. If you read Matthew 24, Jesus talks about the upcoming destruction of Jerusalem, and it's a huge disaster to the people of Israel, and it's the end of the world to them. But Jerusalem was considered this strong place or this pillar because that's where the presence of God was. That's where the tabernacle was. That's where the temple was. And so when we read this psalm and we go through this, the focus shouldn't be on Jerusalem as a city, but what Jerusalem represents, the presence of God, what God has established and built. And if you read Psalm 46, which we'll get there. But it's divided into three parts. There are three sections of it, and there's a Selah at the end. Selah just means to pause and think about these things, and I thought about breaking it up, preaching three messages and having an altar call in between, but I don't know if you're ready for that, so we'll just do one. Psalm 46 and 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There's the first pause. He says, God is our refuge and strength. A refuge and strength. A place that we can go to. A place that we can hide. A place to be alone and get away from all the noise, all the things that are going on in our life or in the world. God is our refuge. And when life is overwhelming, when depression starts settling in, when rumors circulate around us, when everything falls apart and everything seems like it's crashing and coming down in our world, when we feel attacked or we feel alone, or you know, we're got all these things happening, God is our refuge, and we can come to him, and we can hide in him, and we can rest in him. The word refuge means a shelter or protection from danger or distress. And this is always a relevant verse, but especially in the world we live in today, danger and fear and distress are prevalent. We are fed fear on a daily basis. Danger seems to be around every corner, and distress is that ever-present friend to both of them. If we've ever needed a refuge, it is today. People don't know where to turn. Inflation is out of control. Grocery bills are ridiculous. Healthcare is impossible to get. Ideologies are being pushed onto our children. The threat of war keeps popping up. But God is our refuge, and we can come to him when we are in danger and distress, when we need protection, when we need a shelter, when we don't know where to run or where to turn or who to trust or what to do. Sometimes you just get overwhelmed, and sometimes, you said last week, you just get tired and worn out, and sometimes we just need a place to hide and recover and recuperate. But and when we do, the Bible says that we can go to Him. We can come to Him. He will be our refuge and He will protect us. Jesus said that if we labored and were weighed down, we could come to Him and He would give us rest. We can come to Him and lay our burdens down. The invitation was there last week and it's still here this week. Peter understood this when he said we were able to cast all our cares upon Him, for He careth for you. He cares about you, and there is something about His presence. There's a peace in the presence of God. There's a rest in the presence of Jesus, but it starts with us coming to Him. And if we stay where we are, we will stay as we are. But if we come to Him, He will give us rest. It starts with an invitation. He said, come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden. Again, there needs to be some honesty on our part. We need to come to Him. We can't be like, oh, I'm tired. I don't need it. I'm not weighed down. I can do this. I'm as strong as an ox. I'm big and tough on my own. I don't need a refuge. I'll just stay out here and fight it on my own. If you do that, then He'll never be your refuge. He'll never be your rest. There's got to be an honesty on our part that says, God, I need you to do this. I can't do this. I'm coming to you. But not only is He our refuge, the Bible also says that He is our strength. And usually strength means a refuge. In the Old Testament, a shelter or a stronghold, but here it also means might. Paul says in the New Testament, when I am weak, He is strong. He is our strength. He supports us and He protects us. And it's an incredible thing to think about. And this is a great start to a song. This one starts off with a bang. God is my refuge and my strength. That is a great reminder. Not only is He a refuge, not only is He our strength. That would be pretty awesome on its own. I'd be okay with that. You know, that'd be enough for me. But He says He's also a very present help in times of trouble. Whew. I don't know if you ever had a friend. You can just leave it there if you want. We'll finish it. I had a friend once. I don't know if you ever had a friend who said, you know, I'm always here for you, man. Whatever you need, I'm here for you. And then you call them and they got stuff going on. Or they're trying to get you off the phone. They don't want to talk. They got, you know, I got things going on. I don't got time for this. Or if you're in a situation and need to get a hold of someone, you just can't find them. Before we had cell phones, it was a lot harder. When I was a teenager, the rapture always happened. I couldn't get a hold of my mother. Thankfully, we're still here. I got a second chance. You know, you can't get a hold of someone. It's frustrating. It's there's a sense of panic sometimes when you need to get a hold of a certain person and you can't. The Bible says that He is a very present or ever-present help in times of trouble. Nothing against those people that maybe couldn't help us when we needed it, or maybe that we couldn't reach them when we needed to, because we've probably, if we're honest, been those people as well. I know I have. Check your phone, you got all these messages. Oops. That's how people are. We can't be everywhere. We're not always present when someone needs us. It's not possible for us to be there for someone at every second of the day. And when we expect people to, we end up being disappointed. That's not healthy to rely on someone that much, because eventually they're going to let you down and they're going to fail you. But the psalm tells us that that isn't the case with God. He is ever present. He is always there. When we are in trouble, when we are overwhelmed, He's a very present help. And that's why I can bless the Lord at all times. And His praise can continually be in my mouth, because He's always there. In times of crisis, we can get in the habit of looking elsewhere and going somewhere else. You know, your job, you lose your job. Well, we got the government to fall back on. You know, we curse them out all these other times. But when we need unemployment, they're there for us. We're happy for that. When we need certain things, we're glad for it. But when our job doesn't, we lose it, we got that to fall back on. You know, we're sick, we go to the hospital, we go to the doctor. You got problems, we'll go to someone we think we can trust, or our friends or family or whatever. I'm not saying these things are bad and these Systems are in place to help us, but we can get in the habit of running elsewhere instead of running to God. Everything else is just a temporary fix, but God is our strength, and He is our refuge, and He is our ever-present help. He's always there. The psalmist says that because He is all of these things. Verse 2, therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. He said we won't even be afraid if the earth gives way and the earth falls apart, or the mountains are taken away and they're thrown into the sea. Can you imagine that happening? We'd be a little concerned, I think. If the world experiences some sort of global crisis, we don't need to be afraid. If there's climate change, mountains moving, you know? You can do anything to the world, but I won't be afraid because He is my refuge and strength. Verse 3, it says, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. We won't be afraid if the waters roar, the waters are troubled, if there's a storm, if the waves are enormous, if there's a natural disaster. They're pushing all this stuff now, trying to get us afraid of everything. I'm not saying don't, but we have a God who's in charge. You see clips of people just talking, just paranoid and worried and terrified about the climate or the weather or the changes that are happening. And every other week we got a hurricane that's going to destroy us. Keep ramping up warnings so no one believes them anymore. People, the ones that do, they're panicking over waters rising and all these changes. The Psalms addresses all that. It says you don't need to be afraid. Why? Because verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. No matter what happens in the world, you can destroy the world, but God is still my refuge and strength. He's a very present help in times of trouble. And that ends with a selah. So we're supposed to pause and think about these things, the writer says, and think about how God is our refuge and strength. And sometimes we need to stop, and sometimes we need to pause and think about this. When all these headlines and all the news and all the things are just coming and piling up and trying to cause fear and panic, we need to stop and think about how God is our refuge and God is our strength, and He is a very present help in a time of trouble. Everyone is trying to cause us to be afraid with all the stuff and everything going on in our world, and everything seems to pile up, but God is our refuge and our strength. Verse 4-7, it says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttereth his voice, or uttered his voice, the earth melted. That sounds great. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Again, Selah. This part of the psalm is about Jerusalem, or the city of God. But again, we're going to use that to refer to the presence of God, because that's what made Jerusalem so special. Anyway, psalms are poetry. Sometimes I think we forget that. These are poems. And poets like to draw pictures with their words. And in this section of verse 6, we got the nations raging. We got kingdoms tottering and moving. Everything's in chaos. In the words of Bob Cole, everything is happening. But yet, in the city of God, in the presence of God, if you will, there's a refuge and there's a strength that we find in verse 1. And it's different. In the city of God, it says there's a river. In the city of God, there's a peace. Rivers were necessary in Bible days. They brought life. Crops could be watered. People could drink. They were important. So while all this stuff is going on in the presence of God, in the city of God, there's life. There's a peace. There's a river that still flows. There's life that's still there. All around is chaos. The nations are raging. All around, the kingdoms are shaking. But in the presence of God, the city of God, there is peace and life. There is joy in the presence of God. John writes in the book of Revelation about a river that comes from the throne of God itself, the waters of life. He said, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and from the Lamb. And Jesus told the woman at the well that he had the water of life. So Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water shall be thirsty again. Whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Psalm 23 talks about him leading us beside the still waters. And all of these things, there's a theme in of water and springs and rivers in the Bible bringing life. That's what it represents. And so the psalm writer gives us a picture. There's chaos all around, but yet in the presence of God, in the city of God, there is life. Verse 7 says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Selah. Again, he is with us. Well, all these things are happening around us. When all the things are going on around us, we are safe because he is with us. He is our refuge. This is as applicable today as it is in any other time in history. So again, with everything going on in our world, with everything going on in our lives and our families, we can be tempted to run and panic and be overwhelmed, but instead we need to realize that life comes from him, the river of life. And when we come to him, if we rest in him, if we allow him to be our refuge, like verse 1 says and verse 7 says, then we can partake in that river of life that we find in the second section of this psalm. Even with everything going on around us, we are safe in him. He is with us. No matter what the nations are doing, no matter what the other kingdoms are doing, no matter what the governments are doing, no matter what is happening in the political realm or what the leaders are doing, all the questionable decisions that are made, if we hide in him, if we allow him to be our strength, we will find life, life in him. In the old days, you would rely on a river to live. They didn't have indoor plumbing. Some of us may grow up like that. I had an aunt and uncle. I remember going to their house in Ontario. They didn't have indoor plumbing. They had a creek. Not a creek, they had a creek. I don't know what the difference is. They had a well and a creek. They were good. But if you look at any of the older cities in the world, they're all built on rivers. St. John, the first incorporated city in Canada, is on the St. John River. Coincidence? No. London, Paris, all these European cities are all built on rivers. The old times are built on, you don't find a lot of them in the middle of nowhere. Because the river brings life. And if they weren't there, they figured out how to get springs redirected. They needed a water source. There needs to be a river for life. God is our source, and he is with us. He is our fortress, and he is our strength, and he is our life. Selah. So when everything is going on around us, when the world is in chaos, when the nations are doing what the nations are going to do, when there's wars and rumors of wars and all those things, we can pause and we can think. But how God is our source. God is our life. God is our peace. There's peace in the presence of Jesus. Come to him and rely on him. He is our life. My refuge. He's my refuge. He is my life. And he is my God. Psalm 46, 8 to 11. It says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease, and in the end of the earth he breaketh the bow and or bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob again is our refuge. Selah." Now the psalm writer shifts his focus. He's already told us that God is our refuge and strength. And he's told us that he is our life. And in a word picture, a roundabout sort of way. And he ends with this. He says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease in the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Come, see," he says, "how powerful our God is. He brings desolation if he wants to. He stops wars if he wants to. He defeats armies. In other words, he can do whatever he wants to do. He is in control. There's nothing that God cannot do. A lot of times our concerns are with physical things, things that we can see, which is normal. And so the psalm writer addresses this. What bigger threat is there to a nation than war? But yet he says God can stop it. God can end it. He can wipe out the enemy. He can do these incredible acts. And all throughout Israel's history and in the future, there's going to be stories of God doing these mighty acts on their behalf, coming through for them time and time again. Often in times of war, they won battles they had no business winning. Waters were parted. Miracles happened. 300 men beat an army. Armies turned on themselves. They became a nation when they shouldn't have again. All kinds of things have happened in their history. It's going on right now. And so the writer is reminding the people of the power of the God that they serve. I think sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that. That God is still God. He's still in control. We need to pause and remember the times that he came through before. Remember the times that he delivered you from the battles you had no business winning and the wars that you've been through. He is our refuge. He is our life. He is our God. He is still in control. When we are overwhelmed, our reaction is often to try to get out of it ourselves. When the enemy comes against us, we want to fight him ourselves. When we are surrounded, we want to lash out and get out by ourselves. But the psalm reminds us that we need to go to God. He is our refuge. He gives us life. He is in control. And the next verse sums everything up. You might remember this from last week. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Be still. We said last week, means to take your hands off. God is in control. You have some tunes to end this. God is in control. We need to stop. Stop it. Take your hands off. Keep your hands to yourself. Remember that? We used to say that to people, kids. Normally, hopefully they got it figured out by the time they're older. Take your hands off. Let go. He's God. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our ever-present help. He's the peace. He's the life. He's our God. Most of the times we work with God. But there are times we just need to step back and take our hands off and let him work. Sometimes he works through us, and sometimes because we need to step back. Stop fighting, stop raging, stop trying to figure it all out. Stop listening to all the theories. Turn off the news. Shut off the radio, whatever you listen to. Let your cell phone battery die and don't charge it. Be still. Be still and know that he is God. It's in the stillness we know. It's in the quiet, when we stop the fighting, when we stop the scheming, when we stop trying to figure everything out, that we know that he is God. If we're the ones doing it all the time, we can start taking some credit. There's times that we gotta stop, we gotta be still, and realize that he is in control. He is our life, he is our refuge. Be still and know that he is God. Take a step back, breathe, relax. Psalm says that he is our refuge, he is our strength, he is our help, he is our life, he is still in control, he is our God. Be still, he will be exalted. Just let him work. It may seem impossible, but try this morning. Be still and let him work. Everyone is going to know that he did it. He's going to be exalted among the heathen. They're going to look and see what God did in your life. That's no greater testimony than saying, "I don't know how this happened. God did it. I let him do it. I just took my hands off, and God opened the door. God provided. God healed. God did it." There's no greater testimony than to say, I don't know, this is God that did this. Why aren't you like that? Why? How come you're not sick anymore? How come this is going on? You know, this stopped. You know, I don't know, God. Why aren't you angry? Why aren't you bitter anymore? Why? What happened? I took my hands off. I let God. Be still and let Him work. Everyone's going to know that He did it. Everyone will know that He came through, that He provided, that He worked, that He delivered. Trust Him. Be still. Why? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. He is with us. Don't forget it. He is our fortress still. Selah. That's how he wraps the psalm up. Three times he said that God is our refuge. Don't forget. Think about that. Selah. Pause and reflect. Every time, God is our refuge. All the things going on in our world, all the things going on in our life, in our family, our homes, work, whatever. God is in control. We can go to Him. We can rest in Him. He is our fortress still. Don't forget. Think about that for a while. He is in control. When we surrender to Him and we allow Him to be our God, when we are still and we know that He is our God, that's when He's going to be that refuge. That's when He's going to be your strength, your life. You're going to find He's whatever you need when we relent, when we take our hands off. He is with us. So let Him be your God today. Why don't we stop trying to do it on our own? I don't know why I'm here so much lately. Either I need to get it or someone else needs to get it. Or we all need to get it. I don't know. It seems to be an ongoing theme, and I'm not planning this, but sometimes I don't even notice until the end that there was a theme. I was trying to tell someone today, you need to stop. Just give it to Him. Let Him be the refuge. Stop trying to fight all these battles on your own. Stop trying to take the army on your own. Stop trying to fight it all. Stop trying to carry it all. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is an ever-present help. Go to Him today. Be still. Take your hands off. Let Him do it. Take some time this morning. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. He wants to be that refuge for you today. He wants to be that strength. Wants to be that help that you're looking for, that you need. But it only comes when we are still. When we come to Him, we take our hands off, we surrender to Him. I know we don't like surrender. That's the only way this works. Either He can be your refuge or you can be your refuge. It's not both. Why don't we take some time this morning? God's talking to you. Why don't you say, God, I surrender. Jesus, I need you to be my strength. I need you to be my refuge. I need you to be my help. I'm coming to you. God, I can't fight this on my own. I can't carry this on my own. I've been trying to make it work. I've been trying to make it happen. I've been trying to hold it all together and do everything. God, I can't do it. I need you. I take my hands off. You know the situation, Jesus. You know the need. Hallelujah. God, let your will be done. In Jesus' name. Let's find a place this morning. Let's pray that. Let's take some time. Let's surrender to Him. Let Him work. He is our refuge, our life, and our God. In Jesus' name.